I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest. So Rob and Chappelle, give it your best.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back to talk about the number one show on Netflix, that 90s show. And now let me bring in the guy who is the Kelso to my Eric. It is Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good, but I don't know what that means. Okay. I have never seen that 70s show. I think I saw maybe an episode. I don't think I watched that 80s show, and I don't know if they're even related. And so this is all a new introduction to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be the Kellogg's to your whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're talking about the latest sitcom to get a reboot. Here we go. It's that 90s show back again from the people that brought you that 70s show. So we brought in a that 70s show expert. We're very excited to have back with us.
So excited.
Dame Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, yeah. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, so with the Dame thing, I do want to flag right off the top, Rob. I was reading some materials, and apparently I am now potentially invited to join the military endeavors of Sealand. Oh, I don't know what the hell you signed me up for.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Yeah. This is all I've ever wanted, to know that Lindsay is in charge. This is great.
I've been drafted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, sorry about that. Okay. All right. Well, we are here to talk about, we watched the first two episodes of that 90s show. Basically, not a reboot. I guess the spiritual and actual sequel to that 90s show. I feel like that probably the easiest way to say what they're doing, it's basically like getting the Fuller House treatment of it's 20 years after the original show. We've got the same sets and we're going to be following the lives of maybe some different teenagers here on that 90s show in the same universe of that 70s show. Lindsay, I had no idea you were such a big that 70s show person.
Yeah, it doesn't come up. Because why would it?
I guess so.
I definitely had it in my mind that I was absolutely not going to watch this, even though I really liked that 70s show. I was like, who is this for? No one cares. And mm-hmm. It's number one show on Netflix. Apparently people like it. So there you go.
Yeah, or people at least are curious to check it out. And Chappelle, you are not a that 70s show person. Why not? Was there something about it that turned you off, or it just didn't work out for you?
I try to watch shows with at least like one recurring black character.
Yeah.
And I just, from the previews, I just didn't see them. I'm sure they existed, but from the previews,
I'm not so sure. Lindsay?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I say that like, you know, trying to be optimistic, but I'm not saying they have to have a person of color that looks like me on the show. Cause I know there were people of color on the show, mm-hmm. but it is very hard to get young Chappelle to buy into something like that. Cause I'm like, oh, this show isn't for me. Now, as I got older, I was like, there are aspects of this show that I really relate to. Mm-hmm. But that was, again, once I got older. So I was excited to see what this is. And, you know, like the 90s, they switched things up a little bit. It's a little bit more hip. It's that 70s show, but not your mom and dad's that 70s show. This is more like your cool older cousin's that 70s show. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be here talking about this with you two.
Yeah. Okay. So it's interesting. That 70s show was a little bit of a phenomenon coming on Fox. Do we know what year did that 70s show come on?
That, oh, man, I would have said like 2003.
No, it's in the 90s.
Really?
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
it was 1998 was the original.
1998.
Are you serious?
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, the thing that, and I believe Chuck Klosterman brings this up in his book, the 90s, you know, that 70s show airs in the 90s, and you know, it feels like, okay, well, that was so long ago what we're talking about with the 70s, and it's actually that the 70s was closer to the airing of that 70s show than if that 90s show came on, it would have been on like you know, 8 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm a fossil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's horrifying.
It really is, because I remember another thing that really did appeal to me was because it felt like such a period piece, you know, like, oh, that 70s show way back then when they were dressing all groovy and wacky and stuff like that. And that doesn't really appeal to me. And I'm looking at this show and I'm just like, this is normal. This isn't a period piece at all. This is how people dress. This is what people look like.
Right.
And then I have to remind myself, no, people haven't dressed like this in years. And you only think that people still dress like this because you keep rewatching Boy Meets World. So yeah, it's a very different feel from what I experienced when I knew about that 70s show in the 90s.
Okay. So we have our full reboot. I guess, should we talk a little bit about just about that 70s show first before we dive into that 90s show? Lindsay, what was that appealed to you about that 70s show?
Yeah, I don't know if there was anything specific about that as compared to any other show, but I think I really loved the music. I thought that was really fun. I did kind of like the groovy outfits or whatever. Like, yeah. I definitely thought there was something very appealing about that show. It was like appointment viewing for me. Tuesday mm-hmm. nights, come on, I had to watch that. And then it just got really bad. I don't
they did
feel like
200 episodes, Chappelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've seen really zero. And you know, and I'm a guy who watches a lot of television. So I think like I should have gotten in at the very beginning because then, you know, by the end, like Lindsay said, if it starts to get bad, people start to get out of there. They're not talking about it as much. So I really think that like I had a window, I missed it, and there was just no turning back. Because 200 episodes, it's insane for me to have never seen at least one.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it was a juggernaut that launched the careers of like the entire cast pretty much became, you know, really big stars from... I guess starting with Ashton Kutcher, the breakout mm-hmm. star of the whole show. I mean, this is like his first credit, right? He's not doing much of anything else before then. To the whole rest of the cast, Mila Kunis, Topher Grace, mm-hmm. Laura Prepon, people we won't talk about. Yeah. You know, it really was such a huge springboard for the cast of this show, that they just became like super big stars in Hollywood off of the back of that 70s show, to the tune of that they did basically like they kept the entire cast together for 200 episodes. That's a real feat on a sitcom.
Yeah, I mean, the last season, I think Eric was no longer there. So Topher Grace had left. I think Ashton Kutcher left for most of the last yeah. season.
Looking at IMDb, Topher Grace did 179 of the 200. Mm-hmm. Ashton Kutcher did 183 of the 200, but that's pretty good.
Very good, yeah. And obviously, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are now married. Mm-hmm. And that's how they met, is on the show.
Yeah, the real life Eric and Donna.
Which that's is right. weird. One of the few things I know about that 70s show proper, or, you know, the original source material here, is that Mila Kunis was 14 when she auditioned for the show.
Very troubling.
Didn't tell anybody, but they found out and they were just like, keep the party going. And I was, I don't know about that, y'all, because all the rest of these people were adults. And so it's very mm-hmm. weird because, you know, that 70s show was a show about teenagers. But there were teenagers that were doing things that teenagers should do.
Yeah, but Chappelle, the 70s was a different time. So yes,
it was. Mm-hmm. But the show was in the 90s, which is also a different time. You know, so there you go. Mm-hmm. So somehow we've done a different time again. And I think, in 20, 30 years, people are going to look back and be like, the 2020s, that was a different time. You know, I just hate to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you ready for that 2020s show?
No.
I don't need any of that.
2055, they were talking about like they were doing like podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, remember those things?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they look like, hey, I gotta watch another TikTok.
Yeah, I have mm-hmm. to wonder, did this feel like, I mean, like I said, to me, it felt like this is normal TV. But Lindsay, did you feel like, oh man, what a time and place the 90s were? Did you feel like that watching this?
No, I felt the same as you, where I was like, this is just how people are dressed. And maybe it's like the Gen Z kids are bringing these trends back. Mm-hmm. That's what is making us feel that way. But definitely, I was like, this is just normal.
Yeah, I would love to hear from, like, if we have like younger listeners, if watching that 90s show really feels like, wow, is this like what life was really like in the 90s? Was it that surreal? Because for... The people that are at the center of this show, of course, you know, Red and Kitty, they sort of are in the mix as sort of like main leads of the show. And we're going to be following the life of Leia, who is the teenage daughter of Eric and Donna. I have to say that, you know, basically like this is, you know, on the trajectory of my life story of, you know, as being a like a high school, like, you know, young adult in 1995. That's me.
Yeah. One of the things I struggled with a little bit at the outset of the show was trying to figure out how old Leia was supposed to be. And later on, we will come to find out that she's 14. So,
oh, I would have thought older than that. Like a real life Mila Kunis situation, Chappelle.
Yes.
Yeah. On purpose this time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the actress is not 14, or I don't even know that. And you know, it's funny because you mentioned that this, like, that 70s show, like, launched the careers of so many people, and one that we won't even talk about. But when you think about this cast, the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking, they found these relatively unknown characters. Like, are these big actors in their own right, or is this their first role? Because that 70s show had such big stars. They had Topher Grace, they had Ashton Kutcher, and I thought, oh, they weren't those people before they got that role. So now I'm questioning if this will be the thing that leads these people into stardom.
Yeah. Lindsay, do you recognize any of the that 90s show principles from any previous work?
Absolutely not. I famously don't know who anyone is, and these people are very young.
Yeah, I think that they are. They seem to be relatively unknowns. It feels like that the like big actors that we have coming back here are the Red and Kitty of it all. Now, how old are Kurtwood Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp? Because as a younger viewer, like, I felt like they were like they seemed like grandparents in that 70s show.
Yeah, I agree. What are, they must be like pushing 70 now, no?
Oh, no. Kurtwood Smith is almost 80 at this point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Debbie Jo is 71. So, Debbie you know.
Debbie but they're jo. Still bringing it.
Yeah, you couldn't even tell. And I don't know if it's just because they're, you know, they had their Farrah Fawcett hair and all this other stuff, but they look young. They still got some spunk to them, you know. Mm-hmm. They're still in the bedroom keeping it real, you know. Those things are happening.
Yeah, they seemed ageless.
Kurtwood Smith, I felt, seemed a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe because the last thing I saw him and he was playing a lawyer on The Dropout, and he seemed very old in that. So maybe it's hard to reverse age him.
Yeah. Now, before we really get into that 90s show, Lindsay, did you happen to check out that 80s show? And could you tell us anything about that?
Yes, I did. I barely remember it. At the time, I was very excited. It's not in any way, I don't think it was in any way related to that 70s show. It seemed to be in a totally different universe. And it seemed to be located mostly in like a record store or something like that. And there was a girl named like Tuesday or something. And she had very spiky hair. Yeah. But it was largely unrelated to that 70s show.
Yeah, it seemed like that once that 70s show was, you know, starting to wane in popularity, it seemed like that in 2002... Fox attempted to rattle off that 80s show, which aired from January to May of 2002.
Yeah, it was really bad.
So we just passed the 20-year anniversary of that 80s show. It was canceled after 13 episodes. It's from the same people that did that 70s show, but it is a different cast than the people from that 70s show. So I don't know if it's canon.
Yeah, I would have been 12 at the time, and even I was able to be like, this seems stilted. Like, I don't think we need to keep track of this.
So it seems like it was maybe set in the same universe, but it takes place in San Diego in 1984.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have left Wisconsin.
Yes. And basically, were they just a little too early for the 80s nostalgia, Chappelle? Like, they needed to wait like 10 or 15 years to really cash in on like the Stranger Things 80s nostalgia of the mid 2010s?
Well, my knee jerk reaction was no, that was never going to work. But then you mentioned Stranger Things, and I always watch Stranger Things thinking, you know, I got it. The nostalgia, I get that in the first season, but for people to still be howling about the nostalgia in the third season, dear God, get over it. You know, running up that hill, we get it. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, here, this was just, I think, too soon. Like, that 70s show had already lost steam, and it kind of, like Lindsay said, it went downhill. So it's kind of like, oh, let's do that 80s show. It's like, girl, we barely care about the 70s. We're not going to talk about the 80s. And so I think that's probably what it was. Like, had they maybe did less episodes of that 70s show and kind of left it at the height of its popularity or something and ended with a bang, it's like, oh, we need more of those people. Let's follow that exact group of people maybe 10 years later. But to try to bring in a whole new cast of relative unknowns. And I put that in question, quotation marks, because I have no clue who those people are. I've never looked at the cast list for that 80s show. But I just think that they just had like some strategic errors, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to talk about whether we are at the right point for 90s nostalgia. I feel like that the last decade really did start to be the goldmine for 80s nostalgia. The Goldbergs, we mentioned Stranger Things. I mean, what was really like the peak of 80s nostalgia?
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't watch the Goldbergs. I definitely don't watch Stranger Things. I mean, I've seen it, but I can't think of like what show or what moment that I would be like, man, I really wish we were recovering the 80s. Maybe it skips a generation. Maybe it's like the 70s and then the 90s. And so nobody's going to care about the 2000s, but the 2010s is going to be big, you know?
Yeah. So shows that were based on 80s nostalgia, you know, we mentioned the Goldbergs and also Stranger Things. I'm looking on IMDb, The Americans. I don't know if that was really a big hit. Cobra Kai really was, going back to the 80s. But I wonder, is this the right time for 90s nostalgia? And have there been a lot of shows that have covered the 90s yet?
I don't know. I really think that it feels like the 90s. And I know you said the gap is a lot bigger between that 70s show and like that time when it was airing in the 90s or whatever in the 90s. And now
if it was the 90s, it's big in the 90s too.
Yeah. The gap was huge in the 90s. So it's Banana Republic and others, a subset, but I think it just feels like the world is a lot like smaller. You know, I feel like because of the internet, you have access to these things. It was like, I saw that 80s show or that 70s show, and I'm like, oh my God, television that looked like TV back then. That's crazy. But now I can access TV back then all the time. And, you know, and I can access different shows all the time. And it doesn't feel like you have to go out and seek those things. They're just in some space in front of you. And so I don't think that nostalgia really works the same for the later years as it did like back then. Because like you said, the 70s, it just feels like such a big deal to jump from the 70s to the 90s. Because dear God, like, look at all the cool things we have. Cordless phones, you know. Now we have like computers on our phone and our watches. We're basically the Jetsons now, Rob. And I think that's probably the best way I can describe it.
Well, and I feel like we're a particularly nostalgic generation, the millennials, where it's like, it's just so easy to go back and recapture all the things that made you feel alive when you were a child in the 90s. And I feel like it's just the perfect storm of capitalism and technology where you can easily create all this stuff that makes you feel very excited as a consumer in your 30s.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Well, the recipe has been tried with that 70s show. We're ready for that 90s show, which I was not expecting so many of the principals to be back here for the first episode of the new show. Specifically, like, I kind of thought that some of these principals were sort of like, no, don't talk about that 70s show. I don't want to like bring it up again. Lindsay, were you surprised to see Topher Grace and Laura Prepon back?
I think I kind of expected we would get at least one cameo from them, but definitely everybody else that we see, like there are other cameos both in this first episode and later in the season.
Oh, how much have you watched?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh my God. Oh, well, what's your review of the season?
It's really fine. I think
fine. That, okay.
Yeah. I think once we get, like, if you had just asked me after the first episode, I would have been like, this didn't need to happen. I did not enjoy this very much. I think probably I wouldn't have kept going if I was not doing this. And then I was like, oh, I should be a, you know, proper journalist. I'm a professional. And so I watched the whole thing. And I think once we get away from the, like, sometimes a little stilted exposition in terms of like, my father lived right next door to his girlfriend, who is my mother, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the show can breathe a little bit more and it gets better. And I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. This is a good review.
Look, I'm saying we brought in a real journalist. You know, she had to do all the work.
Yeah. And so just the premise of the show is that so Eric and Donna end up having one child together. Her name is Leia. Eric, that Chappelle, if you don't know, that's Leia is a person from Star Wars, which is a franchise that Eric was very obsessed with. I think he went to they had episodes. They went to go see Star Wars when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, well, the crazy thing about Star Wars is that you can still do that. You can mm-hmm. still do a show where there's an episode of someone going to see Star Wars in theaters because it will never end. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so they bring in Leia, who is kind of like the lead of that 90s show. And ultimately that they're coming just to visit for the 4th of July. Do we ever find out where Eric and Donna actually live?
Chicago, I think.
Chicago. Okay. And all of that 70s show is set in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Point Place, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a big plot point through most of that 70s show? What's going on in Wisconsin in the 70s?
Not really. They do a lot of like, Red's really into the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Talk about cheese. You mm-hmm. know, that's about it.
Wait, there's a lot of Brett Favre mentions in this show, Chappelle.
Is there? I kind of like blocked that out, you know? Mm-hmm. There used to be a time where I would be like, yes, that's a great quarterback. But now I'm like, we don't have to talk about him either. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah. It's the 90s. It's Wisconsin. You know, it's coming up a lot. So we meet Leia and she is, I guess, coming of age. And for Eric and Donna, that she's no longer just a kid. And Eric and Donna are having to wrestle with this, and we see that Leia is starting to try to find herself a little bit. Lindsay, is that sort of the overarching like worldview of that 70s show?
Yeah, I think so. One of the differences, I think, is that I think that 70s show starts off and Eric turns 17 almost immediately, and I kind of feel like that works a little bit better. Like, I found it kind of jarring when they're like, you're 15 today. I was like, whoa, it's a lot mm-hmm. of like sex and drugs for this 14-year-old.
I think they're probably trying to build like some runway of like, okay, maybe the kids got too old on the original That 70s show.
Yeah, that's fair. They're 17 for like 5 seasons.
They're already thinking ahead of like, okay, how do we build 5 years of this to get to 2000, get to 100 episodes, syndication. Yeah. Although the 10 episode Netflix seasons, that's going to take 10 years.
Oh yeah, for sure. The actress is Callie Haverda. And I believe she's an Austin native. That's pretty cool. But I don't think she has a Wikipedia page. So this might be her breakout role.
Yeah. I mean, I guess true to the original That 70s Show, that these people are, you know, relative unknowns, at least seemingly to us. And we don't drag mm-hmm. us. It's like, oh, she's in my favorite show.
Which, if she is, that's great. I'm just saying, like, this could be her starring role, you know, that, like, really propels her into Topher Grace stardom. Speaking of, we kind of talked about him just a little bit, but is this the role he was born to play? Like, is this his role, Topher Grace? This is the one that you, like, is synonymous with him, right? This is his mm-hmm. thing. So, if you think about it along those lines, I don't think you have he doesn't have a choice but to come back.
Yeah, what has Topher Grace been up to lately? Topher Grace, that he has, worked consistently for, Win a date with Tad Hamilton. He was Venom before, other people were.
Yeah, destroyed a whole franchise of Spider-Man. They had to redo
it. That's right.
He was in unquestionably the best Spider-Man movie. Traffic was the big thing, like his, I think, breakout non That 70s Show role.
Gotcha. And then, of course, Lindsay, I don't know if you've watched Home Economics, but he's apparently attached to that too.
Yes.
Have you ever seen it?
No, yeah. I've never even heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it, though. I mean, that's literally Topher Grace. So I think about, like, you know, some of his like guest starring stuff, and it's always fun to see him, but I think he'll never be able to shake this Eric Foreman thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is sort of funny because, to your point, I'd say Laura Prepon has had a larger career, and she actually makes more cameos over the course of the season than Topher Grace does.
Okay,
wow, well,
yeah, that's good. I felt like that for Laura Prepon. I called her Prepon before.
One of us is right. I'm sure someone will tell us.
Yeah. So I felt like that she was a little bit more like I not featured as much.
Yeah, like in this episode in the show.
Yeah, I felt like that she was a little bit more like, I feel like that she was only in like one or two scenes. I felt like it was much more about Eric.
Yeah, they do a little thing in this particular episode where it's like, oh, Donna should call Kitty mom. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a little bit of a thing. But
she didn't have that not much a lot business to do. For Red and Kitty, how big of a deal were they in the original That 70s Show, Lindsay? Did they have like their own storylines?
Yeah, very big deal. I think it makes sense to me that they would be kind of leading or carrying this show, where definitely they're huge characters. They make a big meal in this episode about like Red saying, like, I'll put my foot in your ass and that kind of stuff. Like, that's definitely his thing. He was a very overbearing dad. Kitty was a very present mother. They kind of ruined her character, I think, by the end of the series.
What did they do? Where spoilers. It was like,
yeah, spoilers for season 6 of That 70s Show, but it was, they decided to have her go through menopause, and then her whole character is like hot flashes and I'm mad for no reason and now I'm crying and now I'm laughing and who knows why. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, fine. Yeah.
Oh, women. So
this is a bit of a redemption arc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, classic women be having hot flashes.
Yeah. So we saw the return of one of the signature bits of That 70s Show, the camera on the Lazy Susan, as everybody is under the influence of some marijuana. But here in this, they did it with Eric and Donna and Red and Kitty, but it was just that there was some popcorn burning, Chappelle.
Yeah.
Did you know about this bit? Did you know about this? Yeah.
I've seen the commercials and the clips of those moments. And for a while, I did not know what was going on. And then when I found out, I was like, oh, I appreciate that for them. You know, not for me, of course, because I hate burning popcorn, you know? And so when I saw this moment, it's kind of actually kind of weird to watch. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but the spinning of the Lazy Susan, I was kind of like, okay, slow that down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I get the gist of like, that's a classic camera trip that we're probably going to see throughout the season, if not the whole series.
Yeah. Lindsay, did that bring you back?
Yeah, definitely. I that was the first time that I laughed in this episode where Red says, like, how does it feel? You're upstairs, people, now. I was like, oh, it's true. To be a grown up now and your children are probably doing terrible things in the basement.
Oh. Yeah, okay. We've spent most of the time so far talking about the returning characters and the adults, but really the show is about this new group of teens. Leia ends up going next door and meeting up with, is it Gwen?
Gwen, yeah. She lives in Donna's old bedroom.
Yeah, this whole thing is very like incestuous this whole second generation. I think that maybe they could have like gone a little bit more out of the box with this. But Lindsay, could you tell us a little bit about the friendship at the heart of That 90s Show?
Yeah, so Leia goes next door, just sees someone her own age and gets very excited and decides she wants to be friends with Gwen. And yeah, this relationship is going to end up being kind of the best friend part that offsets all of the romantic stuff that is going to happen. But yeah, she lives in Donna's old bedroom. There's a lot there of being like, your parents lived right next door to each other. They must have had sex all the time in this room, which is a weird thing to say to someone you're just meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's a weird thing to say to somebody that you've known for a long time.
Yeah, it's a great point. Never a good time to say that, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So Gwen then has a brother, and she has a brother from a completely different marriage?
It's the same mom, but a different dad. Okay.
All right. So it's not like a stepbrother situation. So, and her brother is Nate.
Nate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Chappelle, do you have any feelings about Nate?
No. So with Nate, I'm just kind of just like, okay, he is, I'm assuming he's like the dumb one, you know?
Yeah.
He's, you know, so he's supposed to be that kind of comedy, you know, somebody come in and make wacky comments and leave. And then of course I started to kind of get Urkel vibes from Nate. Not that he was like anything like Steve Urkel, but just that he's always going to be in the house, you know, no matter what's going on, he's going to be able to walk in, and if not him, his mom. And so, yeah, I still have questions about that too. But they seem fine.
Is the woman that comes over in the second episode their mom?
Yes. Yes. It's their shared mother.
I was like that. The woman who her name is Sherry, that she's like going on a lot of dates. She's not a returning character, right? She's a new invention for that 90s show.
Yeah, she's a new invention. She does carry on throughout the whole season, but this is very familiar where Donna's dad used to appear in most episodes and would just come barging into their house as like the wacky neighbor is here.
Got it. That was a little confusing to me that she was actually the mom of a lot of these characters that we follow throughout the show. Okay, so this is where we start to get like a little like circular and incestuous. Nate then has a best friend. Nate's best friend is Jay Kelso, the son of Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis's characters from the original That 70s Show. We find out in a reveal at the end of the episode.
Yeah, in the original canon of the show, Kelso actually has a daughter, but I was thinking about it and she at this point would probably be like 25, so they couldn't really bring her in. Mm-hmm. They need to make up a new kid, I guess. I definitely thought Nate was supposed to be the Kelso here because he's got a van and I feel like we've got two Kelsos.
Yeah.
We have two Kelsos for sure, which I did not love.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to peep us into that too. They're like, oh, this Kelso has straight A's, so he's not your mom and dad's Kelso, even though it seems like her grandma is really into the young man named Kelso. I mean, she's touching on him a little bit. She's kind of flirting with him. She's kind of getting flustered every time he says something. This is a child, lady. This is a child.
Now, at the end of the episode, we saw the original Kelso, Ashton Kutcher, and Mila Kunis make an appearance, but they did not cross paths with Eric and Donna. Lindsay, has there been a falling out between the real characters or the actors that you're aware of?
Not that I am aware of. I expect it was probably just a scheduling thing of like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have better things Ashton to do Kutcher than this. Probably
said like, I'll come in for 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. As long as everyone says that I'm very handsome the whole time.
And that's what we got. I mean, Kitty was fawning over Ashton Kutcher as if she hasn't known him since he was 12. And then again, his son was there and she was not fawning over the son. And who is a smarter version of Ashton Kutcher's character?
Right.
It was like you said, very circular. A lot of this stuff was just eating itself.
So Ashton Kutcher, can we just stop down here for a second? Like, I feel like he's had a very odd career from... You know, he was sort of like That 70s Show. He was the breakout star. I mean, he's really like ubiquitous in terms of being like in a million things in the decade following That 70s Show. He comes in. Remember this, that he was the replacement for Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men. And then does 80 episodes, I feel like, in like relative anonymity on the Netflix multi-camera sitcom The Ranch, which we don't need to talk about for a lot of reasons. And then really has done like kind of nothing else.
Yeah, I think of him as having done multiple rom-coms. I guess he did that one with Brittany Murphy in like 2004, but has he done any since then? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he has not really been super busy over the last handful of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know he recently revealed that he had been diagnosed with like some illness as well. And so maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know what the ins and outs of that is, but I just know that like if that was a big deal, then, you know, maybe it's impairing him a little bit. But Ashton Kutcher worked so much from the moment this show aired until, mm-hmm. you know, recently. I mean, he legit has, I mean, the man has to be filthy rich. I mean, all he did was just like pound out these shows and movies and all this other stuff. I mean, Punk'd was such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course he had a very public relationship with Demi Moore. And they have like, it was just a whole thing where it's like,
and he was big into like tech too. Like, like a lot of like, business interests, like outside of TV. Like I remember like when Twitter blew up, like he was like one of the faces of who's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Such a big deal. I remember my memory of Ashton Kutcher, of course, is Punk'd, but also the fact that he was like the young hot guy who stole Demi Moore from Bruce Willis. I don't know if y'all remember it like that, but that's mm-hmm. how I remember it in my mind. Like, why is she with this young kid from that 70s show? And then they, you know, had a beautiful relationship. I don't know if it's still going on, but they had one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe it's more of a friendship now.
It might be. It might
be. We hope.
But, you know, he, like, you want to talk about somebody who was like thrust into fame. Ashton Kutcher is the one. Like, and they all are famous, but I mean, it's just the amount of stuff that he did in that time. It was just incredible for somebody who just, like you said, relative unknown. I think at best he was a model. And now he's like a household name, even today.
Chappelle, what was your feeling on Dude, Where's My Car?
It was fine. You know, I just remember like, dude, you got a tattoo.
Sweet.
Well, you know, yeah, sweet. Oh my God, dude, you know. But I mean, again, yeah, I'd be looking for, you know, representation. And so sometimes I'm like, not for me. Not all time, but that time mm-hmm. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah, more like, dude, where's my representation?
Yeah. Dude, where's my black friends?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they do pop in. But yeah, so we have a whole other cast of characters here. Ozzy is another person who I guess he's the new Fez for the group, Lindsay.
Yeah, Fez definitely super problematic. So it seems like they tried to be like, look, we have some representation and also he is a gay teen. So like we are having multiple facets of representation here. But yeah, not sure they knew exactly what to do with Ozzy right at the beginning. And he grows a little bit over the course of the season. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. We also have Nikki. I don't know if we mentioned Nikki is the girlfriend of Nate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's there too.
She's there too. Right. I didn't really understand what her character is, that she's like, Nate is like, okay, an idiot doofus. And then mm-hmm. Nikki was like obsessed with him.
Yeah. She's another one they don't really know what to do with. I'd say she and Ozzy are kind of underserved. By the end of the season, it's almost like, she's so smart. She does incredibly well at school and she loves school. And I was like, when did we get this? Like what happened along the way? Somewhere along the way, it's like, she's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You would think that that would be what her and Leia bond over instantly, because Leia likes school. We find that out in the first episode, but she's like, they have no conversation about that at all. So to find out that she later becomes like the smart one of the group, it's very mm-hmm. odd to me. I did like that they didn't know what to do with her hair either. They're like, we have to make it 90s. And so they just blew it up. Like it's just big. But I don't remember. I was there in the 90s. I just don't remember this particular hairstyle on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the first episode, we see that Leia is like she's meeting this whole like this whole crew, and then she ends up like hanging out with them, as the theme song implies, a lot of hanging out, Lindsay. And mm-hmm. The crew ends up accidentally being given a keg.
Yeah, this is an exact plot line. I had to look up when this happened in that 70s show. And it is season 1, episode 6 of that 70s show called The Keg.
And
in that episode, in that episode, they just find a keg versus here they are given a keg.
Yes.
But it's very much the same where it's like, we don't have a tab. How are we going to obtain a tab? And a lot of the drama comes from getting this tab.
Chappelle, this is a timeless problem of for young people of how do we acquire a keg? How do we get into the keg? They may know how the keg works. I mean, I don't think that technology has solved this problem for today's youngsters.
I think people are kegs still a thing? Like, is that still a thing that people do? You know, because I know it was such a big plot point in a lot of 90s shows, 90s movies. You know, you see the guy doing a keg stand or it's like throwing house parties and stuff like that. Do we have like a lot of house party movies? I know there is a house party movie like about to come to theater soon, but like, are there a lot of like movies that are centered around just you wacky teens? Look what happened when your parents left the house. I don't know if that's a thing anymore. And a lot of those movies were centered around the keg. So maybe technology just kind of like, maybe history fixed itself. Maybe the keg is just kind of just antiquated like the VCR.
Yeah, I would love to know. I would love to know because I feel like that at the time where I was, you know, trying to solve the problem of, you know, acquiring kegs, you needed to put like a driver's license down and then you had to like put a deposit down to get the keg, return the kegs. A lot of problems involving the keg.
Yeah, I feel like my biggest issue would be the amount of alcohol in the keg. Like if it's a keg, I feel like more times than not, most of the keg is wasted or not drank. You know, like there's no way you can account for all of that being drunk, especially like if it starts to get warm or, you know,
the way people ice, spill things. Right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think they were very practical. I think it was like one of those things that like was a novelty in that time. And I don't think in that 2020 show, we'll be talking about kegs anymore.
Yeah. Lindsay, did you find that going through season one that a lot of the plot lines were lifted from original That 70s Show episodes?
I felt like the first couple of episodes in particular, it was like, okay, we're not trying anything new. And I think that's why I was saying at the beginning that I think once it starts to stand on its own and they stop trying like to be
a keg stand on its own.
Yes, exactly right. Once they stop trying to do that and let it breathe a little bit more, I think the show improves. But at the beginning, it's very much like, wow, they're just lifting stuff right out of here. Mm-hmm. To the point where like I went back and I was like, let me watch the scene when he tries to get the tap in That 70s Show. And it's Kelso being like, I'm a grown man and I'm very old. Please sell me this tap. And then we have Leia here being like, I'm going to pretend to be a pregnant woman buying a tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Mama a recurring character from That 70s Show? Is Mama's liquor store the like that 70s show staple?
No, I was trying to remember who Kelso buys the tap from. And it was just some guy who's like, you can't drink a tap. There's no age restriction on buying a tap. So
yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought it was weird, though, that, you know, she decided like I thought that was one of the few funny gags that really stood out to me was that she decided to be a pregnant woman, you know, because like in theory, this should be fine. But immediately the woman says, should you even be buying this? And I was like, yeah, like on the one hand, lady, that's none of your business. But also she makes a fair point. She was very pregnant in that dress. So I laughed at that. But I also felt like, you know, they kind of gave up the gag a little too soon by just like, oh, it moved funny. So now we're caught. Yeah. But I think we were supposed to lean into the Leia is so smart and she's on the debate team and her nerdy quirkiness is going to come in handy moving forward in this season. And so that's what I got from it.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So, Rob, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the 90s references.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the only thing to me that's really dating the show. Like, I don't think that the outfits, like for me, are dating the show because I think the last time I watched a teen sitcom, it looked just like this. So it makes sense for me. But they're talking about Grace Under Fire and just like making random references to things that are happening around the 90s. If we were to do this again, Lindsay, 2020, what is the references that we're going to be talking about on that 2020 show? Like, is it just going to be like COVID? Because I don't want to watch that.
It's just the COVID season.
Yes, exactly. Like masks. What do you reference in like 20 years from now, Lindsay?
Yeah, podcasts, TikTok.
Is TikTok going to be antiquated in 20 years? It feels like it'll be here forever, right?
Yeah, right? I don't know. One thing I actually, sorry, this is like a slight deviation from what you were saying, Chevelle, but I found in terms of just going back to old things, the laugh track I found very jarring.
Yeah, that's interesting. That I feel like that there are not a lot of new shows that feature the laugh track. I feel like, is that just like a staple of a multi-camera comedy show? Like, are other multi-cam shows, do they all just have the laugh track baked in?
Yeah. Like, what's the show? Is it the one with Grover Johnson, The Neighbors or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Do they have a laugh track? I feel like they do.
I bet they do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one was just obnoxious. Like, for me, mm-hmm. I even flinched at it the first time. I was like, because, and maybe they're doing it on purpose, but in the 90s, it was like, whatever the joke was, there was a laugh track to follow, mm-hmm. no matter what it was. You went from live studio audience to fake live studio audience. And so maybe they're leaning into the idea that it didn't even have to be funny, but as long as they're laughing, we're laughing.
Mm-hmm. There's a moment in the second episode. I remember at one point they did something. There was a video you could watch where it was like Big Bang Theory. They take out the laugh track and see how long they're waiting between jokes. And it's very uncomfortable. And there's a moment in the second episode at the very end where I was like, oh, if you took out this laugh track, he is just standing there for a very, very long time before the line gets delivered. And so yeah, I just found it very jarring. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a show with any kind of laugh track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe it's here. Maybe it's part of the throwback, bringing you back to the 90s, Chappelle.
It does feel weird. You know, they also reference E.T. and Free Willy. They actually call Free Willy E.T. with a whale.
Yeah.
And Rob, you're a big E.T. guy. Does that check out for you? Does that
track? Honestly, they say that Free Willy is, and I'm like the age of the character or characters are supposed to be. And so I feel like that I was too old for Free Willy. I feel like that was more of a kid's movie that I never ended up watching. So E.T. certainly like has a place for me. Did you watch Free Willy, Chappelle?
I did. I remember, like, I don't remember the movie. I'm assuming Free Willy gets free at some point. But I do remember this moment where the kid is standing on the thing and the whale jumps mm-hmm. over. And I think I remember The Simpsons and the whale jumped and did not make it over.
Willy didn't make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Willy did not make it. And so that's my knowledge of Free Willy. There's also a Michael Jackson song in my head that probably goes mm-hmm. along with this.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's it. Like, I think I was too young for E.T. and honestly, I think that was a pick too old for Free Willy, you know? So I don't know. Maybe I'm in that sweet spot where I should have watched them both and didn't.
Free Willy, the original Free Willy. Let me see what year that was.
See, maybe I was too young for Free Willy.
1993 was Free Willy.
Yeah.
I was too young for Free Willy.
Too young.
Yeah. And like, it existed, but I was like, I don't want to watch that. And then when I got old enough to watch it, I was like, there are better things out than Free Willy. By that time, they were on Free Willy 3, where all the Free Willys showed mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Michael Jackson thing. Song from Free Willy is Will You Be There?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Will You Be There?
Mm-hmm. That's all I think of. I think of the whale jumping in slow motion. Mm-hmm. I think of
That's
Michael
when he
Jackson's
gets free.
Thinking. Yeah. And then I think of The Simpsons when the whale does not make it. Those things are just cemented in my brain.
Mm-hmm. And he crushed our boy.
In the first episode, we see where, okay, Leia has such a great time here that she's sort of like an outcast where she lives and she doesn't really have any friends. She's like coming into her own as a young woman. And so Lindsay, she tells her parents, hey, I want to stay here in Wisconsin. I don't want to go back with mom and dad and go to space camp. And so I want to stay here. Did you find it odd that Eric and Donna were so quick to say, okay, you can live here with grandma and grandpa?
Yeah, it felt a little odd to just be like, all right, cool. You probably brought enough stuff for the weekend, but you just live here now. I don't know. It felt like they were very quick to be like, yes, this will be good for you and your emotional development or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very quick turnaround.
Because it's not like Eric and Donna are local.
No, they live in Chicago. I don't know how far that is, but it sounds far.
Yeah. I think it's like close enough that there's like a real rivalry between the Packers and the Bears, Chappelle.
I guess so. I mean, they do have a rivalry. I just think that, you know, one side has just been on the losing side of that rivalry for a very long time. But, you know, in the 90s, was the rivalry a lot tighter? Was it closer, Rob, back then? I feel like it wasn't.
I'm sure it was. If you ask anybody who was there, I'm sure they would feel like it was.
Oh yeah, that's what we watch the sports, right? We want those football rivalries, especially the ones that are regional, you know, where it's like you just look across and see like some of the most hated people in the world, and it's just your neighbor who has a Bears like flag outside their door. But it was weird to me too that they decided to drop her off for the summer, because I thought, if was this for the summer, if there's going to be a season two, is it next summer or is it at the end of this season? They're like, I don't know. I never want to go back to Chicago. You know, that's a big decision to make after staying with your grandma for 2 months. I'm sure they talk about it, not to get into any spoilers, but Lindsay, you probably have more insight than that than I do.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I don't want to spoil how it ends for people, but like they are definitely framing like how long the drive is going to be to go back. And very
yeah,
much
because they
it
set
sound,
it
like,
up it's, as it's the 4th of July. So basically like the events of season one is going to take place over the course of one summer. Is she going to transfer to go to high school with these kids at the end of season one?
Potentially.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Come on. I guess they have
to, do you want
right?
me to tell you? I can tell you.
If anybody's like spoiler averse and they listen to 50 minutes of us talk about the first two episodes and they don't want to know. But I guess she's going to transfer to go to school here, right?
Well, that's what I assumed also. But no, she ends the season one being like, okay, cool. See you guys next summer. I'm going to visit a lot.
Oh, so I guess
and she
maybe,
leaves like she's in the car.
I guess because the kids are going to be that much like I guess because it's Netflix and basically they're going to do like a batch of 10 episodes. And so it's like, here's the kids now. And then so season two will be like 1 year later and it'll be 1996.
Yeah, I assumed that it was going to end with her being like, I've had such an amazing summer. I love everyone so much that I want to move here permanently. And instead, Donna comes to pick her up and she's like, says her goodbyes to everyone. See you next summer. And off they go.
Yeah. Chappelle, did it bother you that it's supposed to be July 1995? I feel like that they were making 90s references that were further out than 1995. Mm-hmm. I feel like that they had insight into the future that they should not have had into 1995.
Oh, did any of them stand out to you so much?
I'm trying to remember, like the thing that the Goldbergs used to do to like get around this. It would be like, I remember it well. It was like April 10th, 1980 something. And it was just sort of like ubiquitous, like the 80s. And I don't know if that 70s show like kept to the canon of, you know, not making a reference or playing a song that was beyond when it was supposed to be. Lindsay, did they have like specific dates in that 70s show?
Yeah, I think it starts, I think in 1976, maybe probably 75, if they're trying to make it a direct 20 years later, but they allude to stuff every now and again. They're always talking about like, what's going on in politics.
Yeah. Chappelle, I thought that the one that stood out to me, the reference was that they were talking about that. Oh, did you know that this thing, like when they were getting high and they were talking about that, this is supposed to be like this. And it, Donkey Kong. And they said, yeah, I'm that way about Sheryl Crow. And I don't believe that by 1995, Sheryl Crow had really come to that kind of notoriety.
How dare you? She won 3 Grammy Awards in 95. Me and the Sheryl Crow heads are out here like fuming and throwing tomatoes at the podcast. Rob, that was her heyday. Yeah, her second.
All I want to do, 1994.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Rob, grow up.
Sorry.
You know, the Crow crowd is out here.
I think of her more as being later in the 90s. I am wrong about that one. I apologize.
It's okay. As us crows, so we're going to sit here.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing.
Take away his journalistic license.
Sorry. Because all I want to do is have some fun.
Right. But can you do that if you're shaming Sheryl Crow and like discounting her career and her meteoric rise to fame? I don't think so.
Yeah,
you cannot.
I guess from this. I guess I think of her so much as being in Big Brother 3 when she came and played a concert in the house that was in 2002. You know, she had been such a superstar for so long before that.
A long and storied career.
It spans decades, Rob. Grow up.
My bad. So sorry. Sorry about that.
Sheryl Crow's a topical reference at the time. Donkey Kong as well. I think I have questions about them getting high in the basement in these moments that they're having because, you know, not that I've ever done this, but I don't know if you just go into full hallucinations about your grandma and grandpa being Donkey Kong video game simulation or characters because you've smoked marijuana. I don't think that's how that works. Again, I could be wrong.
Yeah, but, this is a good question. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is the experience of being under the influence of the things that the kids try on the show, is it consistent with the actual human experience? That's something I've always wondered as somebody who's does not have never that partaken. Reference. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that these scenes seem to be like written by somebody who has never been having that experience.
Well, let me float an idea as a scientist.
Yes.
Can we add any additional variables in here that the substances they have consumed were found from 20 years ago? Maybe. Does this increase the potency, or does it just mean that you have like garbage in your back room?
It would decrease.
I would think so, right?
Yeah, but then if it was the 70s, I think there were some other things that were floating around that might be like, you know, in the same bag as these things that they could also ingest that might make things, make some hallucinations happen. But yeah, it felt weird. It definitely felt weird. And also, I don't think you should smoke anything that has been like hidden in your grandma's house for 20 years. I really don't think it. Maybe Kitty left it for them.
Maybe.
Because she hands it to them like, oh, I found this in their stuff. I took out the porn, but here's everything else. It's like, you took out the porn, but you just left the weed? Okay, Kitty. I think she kind of wants them back in the house, back in the basement, doing the old thing.
I would venture to guess, and Lindsay, maybe this has been explored in That 70s Show, that I don't think that Kitty and Red seem to know what marijuana is, because that in 200 episodes, do they ever notice any smell coming out of their basement?
Yes, they definitely do. There is a character who we won't mention who briefly lives with them and gets kicked out at one point because Red's like, I will not have that stuff in my house. And like at another point, Kelso is holding a bag and gets caught by Red. Like Red, very anti-drugs guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like I think I would know if somebody was in my basement smoking.
Yeah.
Daily.
Well, I feel like I would know.
Even this scene where she goes upstairs, Leia goes upstairs to get Raisin Bran or something, and she's looking at the grandparents. Like this is another moment that was kind of directly lifted from That 70s Show where Eric goes upstairs to make toast because everyone's like, we need toast. And he's staring at them and the wallpaper is moving behind them, which I felt to be like maybe a little bit more plausible.
A little bit more plausible.
But who knows? Who can say?
Yeah. Okay. In the second episode, they are going to go to the video store. I do like the incorporation of the video store, Chappelle, as people who did recap the another Netflix series, Blockbuster.
Which has been canceled as of recording. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that there is some discussion about what movie should we get? We want to get a movie that isn't like for babies. And so they want to get Clerks. This is the 90s movie that people definitely want to watch. Chappelle, have you seen Clerks?
I have not seen Clerks. I am familiar that it exists, but I am not like anybody who's watched it. And I think they don't end up watching it either because of other reasons.
They can't find it.
But are you a big Clerks guy?
No, I'm not. I'm not super big into the Kevin Smith cinematic universe. Lindsay, are you in the Jay and Silent Bob-verse?
No, definitely not. My brother, very much so, though. Very much like
I always
Clerks,
thought it was really overrated. Like, people are like, oh my God, the New Jersey movies, the Mallrats, I'm like, they're fine.
Not for me.
They're fine. Yeah.
So if this is 1995, Lindsay, what movie are you renting from this Blockbuster style store?
Well, so I did notice that very prominently placed in the background of the scene was beloved film Fern Gully. And I would have been
The Last Rainforest? Yes. So
that was very exciting to me.
Really? So it's the middle of 1995. So you can't get movies that are in the movie theater from. So let's see. Some of 1994's best movies. Well, I think I would start with Speed.
Yeah.
Chappelle and I were barely alive. We're that young people.
Yeah, I think I saw Speed though, like from a movie a Blockbuster or something. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure I saw it, someone had rented it.
These were some of the other picks that you could have gotten there at the movie theater or at Blockbuster. Reality Bites, that might be a little too angsty for the kids. Angels in the Outfield. Oh, that's probably, you'd be a loser if you got that one.
I loved Angels in the Outfield, though. Yeah. It was God's thumbnail. It wasn't the moon. I remember that so vividly. Mm-hmm.
There was Junior, where Arnold Schwarzenegger got pregnant and Danny DeVito is like the OBGYN.
I bet that holds up. I bet that holds up.
Holds up great, I bet. The Mask was a big one from 1994. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of that movie. Mm-hmm.
True Lies.
Ooh, yeah. I think I watched that probably 10 years after its release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just had to check because the movie I definitely rented the most in my childhood was Harriet the Spy, but that's not till 1996. Mm-hmm.
Another one that I'm sure holds up great. It's Pat. Mm-hmm.
It's Pat.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is It's Pat?
It's a SNL sketch that was turned into a movie.
Oh. I know the sketch. I did not know it was a movie.
Yeah.
I can assure you it does not. And I've not seen it. But I can assure
the
you
next
it does not.
Karate
well.
Kid? Is that Hilary Swank Karate Kid?
No, it can't be right. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it
Pat Morita and Hilary Swank is the next Karate Kid.
Dear God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Right. I think 96 is our formative years. Lindsay, because if you talk about Harriet the Spy, I was right there with you. We were watching at the same time.
Yeah. Yes, that orange VHS.
Wow. They got the special color treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, the Nickelodeon movies all had the orange VHS. If it didn't have the orange VHS tape, you know, whatever, then you have to look at it kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay. So that the Clerks movie, it turns out, was already rented. They go to go find it, and we end up meeting Tommy Chong. Lindsay, was Tommy Chong a staple of that 70s show?
Very much so. And they sort of allude to it where Kitty's like, he was just an older man who hung out with my teenage son and his friends. She's like, I'm sure it's fine. But yeah, no, he appears a lot. He often provided them with substances and just hung out with them a lot. And that is never interrogated even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Tommy Chong did 65 episodes of that 70s show. Chappelle, did you have any idea?
No, I had no clue. When I saw him pop up in here, I was like, oh, they brought him in because there's weed. But then I thought about it here and I was like, oh, it sounds like he was involved in the first showing. Rob, could you guess Tommy Chong's age?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I'm going to guess that he must be in his 80s, Tommy Chong. Mm-hmm.
84 American years old, Tommy Chong, which is wild because he seems so spry. Yeah.
I mean, look at Cheech and Chong. Both have lived great lives, like into later days. I bet you know that back in the day, I bet, you know, you probably could have made some considerable money if you took the over on those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said 84 American years old, but I believe he's Canadian. So, you know, let me not try to steal that moment from our beloved Canadians with Lindsay here. How dare I?
Yeah. And Cheech is a younger man.
Still pretty old, though.
76.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I think people just feel younger now. I don't know if the nostalgia works here looking back on 2020, because I mean, you got Tommy Chong and Cheech, who are 80 years old, are still acting in these roles. I don't think we had a lot of the 80-year-old people from, you know, like in the 90s and like these like front of mind hit television shows. You know, a lot of times they're just the grandpa, grandma. And a lot of times you could be 50 years old and be a grandma on those shows. That time is gone now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's very comparable to the role that he plays. Like, Leo doesn't change a lot between that 70 show and that 90 show.
Yeah.
And obviously it's just their bit of like, Dave's not here, you know, same stuff that you're getting with Leo.
Leo really wants to be on The Real World.
Yes.
Been watching that a lot. What Real World is Leo watching in 1995?
That would be The Real World. Is that San Francisco? Because that was 92. London. That would be London.
Oh, okay.
London. Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, London was fine. I did not watch it in 95, although I would like to think I did. But I'm pretty sure like I somehow came across it when it was in syndication or they were playing random reruns, because I had The Real World Paris, like the shit they should have showed you on DVD. And that's the following season. Yeah.
Lindsay, is there anything else from that 90s show that we should make sure we talk about while we're here talking about the number one show on Netflix?
Yeah, I guess we should just flag that at the end of the second episode is when we get our Fez cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that character does not hold up super well. That's the moment I was referring to where I said there's like a probably minute long pause where he's just lying on the car waiting for the audience to settle down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
It's like a tepid Kramer, right?
Yes. What's Wilmer Valderrama up to? Or do we not want to know?
Yeah,
I don't want to know. No, I want to know. I do want to know. Because I recently was talking about him because he was on that show Chamama back in the MTV days, you know, the show where they go out and they do your mama jokes and they win $5,000 in cash money or whatever it was. But that's the last time that I cared about anything that Wilmer Valderrama was doing. So I don't know what's happened since then. Does anybody else have any insight to anything?
No, I mean, 2005? I'm just looking through and it seems like that he's been in a bunch of things consistently. I got to do some voice work in Encanto.
Oh, we love Encanto.
He's briefly mentioned in BoJack as a then relevant Wilmer Valderrama.
I feel like that he was sort of like a thing where, you know, everybody else, all the other principals from That 70s Show got like real famous. And then I feel like that Wilmer Valderrama, I feel like had like a lot of, he was sort of like friend to the very famous.
It's almost like he was tokenized. Pause.
Almost.
There you go. You know, pause for laughter. And then we continue. Yeah, I think that the most interesting thing about Wilmer Valderrama has been like his dating history.
Yeah.
Every time I looked it up, he was like, oh my God, Wilmer Valderrama. So who? I mean, he's just everybody. So
he was a Pete Davidson before Pete Davidson.
Basically,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know in all accounts, but I know he has some moments.
I wasn't implying anything.
Are you? Were you? No.
Talk about his resume. Speaking of his resume,
I will.
In fairness to Wilmer Valderrama, has done 140 episodes of NCIS. Maybe that's why we haven't been keeping tabs on what he's been up to.
Wow, incredible.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't watch NCIS, but I have seen him on
really? You don't say? I'm surprised.
Yeah, I've seen him on there. I just didn't know he was like a staple for, it seems like, the last several years on this one show. But it seems like it's paying the bills. I hope he's happy.
Yeah, okay. That 90s show, you got to think, Lindsay, probably will get renewed, right?
I think so. I was looking at the reviews after watching the first two episodes, really just to see if I should continue. And it seems like most of the reviews are pretty positive. People are saying it's not as stilted as some of the other reboots that have happened. And I myself said it was entirely fine. So if this is for you, then yeah, I could see it getting renewed.
I mean, my kids watched all of Fuller House, which I do think that this is like that same sort of format also on Netflix. I think they did 75 episodes of Fuller House. They brought the principals the adult principals in and out a bunch of times. So I think that this is probably go on a similar trajectory.
Yeah, probably. And I think another show that's very similar to this, but not a Netflix show, is Girl Meets World, which is basically Boy Meets World. But this, you know, let's follow Cory and Topanga. And now they have a daughter instead of a boy. So it's a girl, you know, like oh, my God, a concept. And so that show had three seasons as well, 70 something episodes. And I honestly think it only got canceled because of COVID. So I think we could have a lot of this. I don't know if the kids are going and looking for something like this. Like, the question is, who is this for?
Who is this
for? And I'm not sure if I have the answer for that. Is it for the people who know That 70s Show, or are we building a new coalition of That 90s Show's nostalgia fandom? And I don't know the answer.
And that'll really be the key to find out if this is a success or not, because I feel like that all of the That 70s Show's fans, the Lindsay Wilsons out there, are all going to check out season one of this. But if it doesn't like keep that attention, then I feel like nobody will check out when season two comes back, unless like, okay, oh, Topher Grace has been added to the cast for season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of the dialogue at the beginning in particular, where they were like, it's my granddaughter, she is here, and like they used to live next door to each other. There's all that setup exposition that I think seems to be trying to win over new fans. But I really think it's mostly going to be people who watch That 70s Show. I don't think we're going to get a ton of new people being like, I've never seen That 70s Show, but I love That 90s Show.
Okay. All right. We will see where it goes from here. Now, in terms of where we go from here next week, I am going to be on assignment, taking a few days off next week for a family vacation. And so I am going to be turning things over to my esteemed co-host.
Wow.
Yeah. To hold it down next week. No parties while I'm gone, Chappelle.
No, no. No kegs.
No kegs.
Oh, man. Oh, rats. yeah, Rob's taking a little hiatus, a little yadis, as some would say. And so I'm going to drive the boat next week.
This is a boat?
I don't know where. It is next week. When you're gone, it's a boat. Mm-hmm. And so I will be taking over and I will be talking about whatever I want to talk about on Netflix or other.
Free Willy? You know,
maybe. If I talk about Free Willy, I have to bring Lindsay back, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there is a movie coming out soon, and it's called You People. And it's starring Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill and Nia Long and Lauren London. I think that's the cast. It's a Kenya Barris movie. And so that means it's about interracial couples, because that's all his stuff is about. You see Blackish, see Mixedish, see Grownish, see Black AF, the Kenya Barris model. And so we will be talking about that. And by we, I mean me. And so I will find my guest, and then I will have an episode of Nothing But Netflix coming to you soon. It's going to be fun.
Okay. Well, I know it's going to be great. I can't wait to listen to it. The movie looks funny, that they say it is. The genre is a romantic comedy, romantic movie. Yeah.
A romantic comedy and a romantic movie. And so the number one person on my list is a Eddie Murphy expert. I have a friend named Tyrone. Rob, you might have met him.
Yes.
He's been podcasting off the hook podcast, I believe. He's been on Silent Podcast doing a bunch of stuff. But he and I do not podcast together because we want to preserve our friendship. Mm-hmm. But now I'm ready to burn it down for this Eddie Murphy movie. And so next week, Tyrone Graham will be my guest.
Okay. We'll be on the lookout for that coming next week. And I'm sure it'll be the number one movie on Netflix. Lindsay, what's coming up for you?
Oh, same stuff as usual. I can be heard talking about Tuca and Birdie over on BoJack Horsepod with the great Kirsten McInnes. And I'm talking about Futurama over on the podcast of tomorrow. But that's about it.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds Lindsay, very fancy.
Yeah. That podcast of tomorrow, that's like us looking back on 20 years from now, like, oh, look at that. Look at Futurama. Remember that was a thing back in the 90s and 2000s.
Back in the 90s, I talked about some famous TV shows.
Basically. But if you ever talk about American Dad, I'm your guy.
Just, oh, my God. I have no American Dad knowledge, but I might take it up just to bring you onto the podcast.
American Dad pod coming soon.
Incredible.
Okay. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for talking about That 90s Show here with us. Chappelle?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Just before I let you go, I will just want to say thank you in particular to Chappelle, because I have been bugging him weekly for like a year. So there has been no decorum, even though I am a dame of Sealand. So I appreciate the invitation. Very happy to have been here. This was very fun.
Yes.
No. When royalty calls, what else did I do? I was bound by my position here as a mere, what is it, knave? I don't know.
Who knows?
A serf? I don't know what I am to you, but yes,
the common folk. Yeah.
Yeah. My knee is bent, and I'm happy that you came. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Lindsay. Okay. Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
I don't know. I don't think I really have a lot going on. I'm sure someone's like, you are supposed to be a guest on my podcast. I don't remember. But of course, I'm still on post-show recaps talking about Abbott Elementary every other week with Gia Worthy. And so we will have that episode out to you all shortly so that you can talk about season 2, episodes 12 and 13 of Abbott Elementary. And I mean, the show is so funny. And so check that out. Check out Gia and I. Support that. And then I think I might guest on her podcast. I don't know about that. Which is her Survivor podcast over on Silent Podcast, because she needed a guest to talk about Survivor Fiji. And I happen to love Survivor Fiji. Famously, a lot of representation on that season. And so I might check that out and hop over there with her. So follow that. Keep up with Gia. Keep up with me. And follow me on Twitter @Chappelle_show.
All right. Thank you all so much for checking out what we had going on here over on Nothing But Netflix. If you are so inclined, check out my latest podcast with Dr. Christian Hubicki, where we answered listener questions about science, Survivor, pop culture, and more. It's always fun when we get together with him and everything else we have going on over at robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening to Care, but have a good one. Bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.